1460 WVOX. Here's Greenberg Town Supervisor Paul Finer.
Good morning. I'm Paul Finer. I'm the Greenberg Town Supervisor. And I'm really delighted to welcome a Greenberg resident of one of the villages, Julie Cotino. And she's founder and chief executive officer of Brand Twist and dean of a unique online brand school. Julie has had a very interesting career. She worked with Richard Branson at Virgin, learning hands-on how to scale new products and delight people in airline, hotel, and retail industries along the way. She worked at an ad agency, Gray Worldwide, and has done a lot of amazing things. So we're going to talk about twisting, branding, and how you could better market yourself. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Could you tell us a little bit about your book, Twist?
Sure. Wrote the book a couple years ago. It's really a how-to guide to find and express either your business twist or your personal twist. And what I mean by that is what's unique and special about you.
Why is it important to have a brand?
I think it's important to have a brand because it's really hard to stand out. Whether you're a college graduate or looking for a job or change in the workforce or a business. We have so much competition these days. There's so much, I like to say, Charlie Brown, wah, 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 out there. So having a twist is really what's unique about you and getting people to pay attention to you.
And I guess it's harder because when years ago you had a few print media that everybody read, and now with social media, one newspaper article won't give you the recognition.
Yeah, I mean, social media, I think, is a double-edged sword. There's a lot more noise out there, but at the same time, we can all become, we all have media channels. You don't need to buy TV ads or print ads. You can set up a Twitter account or LinkedIn or Facebook page, and you can get your message out there for free, really.
When you worked with Richard Branson, you were vice president of branding for Virgin for many years. What did you do for Virgin then?
Yeah, primarily what I was doing was launching new Virgin businesses. So Virgin Hotels, which is launched, Virgin Voyages, which is a new cruise ship, were all incubated during the time that I was there. So we were looking at opportunities to shake up markets, which is the Virgin way. And that's what I was doing, was looking for opportunities for new twists, really.
What were some of the twists and what were some of the branding highlights?
Yeah, I think Virgin Hotels was a real highlight for me. It's rapidly expanding right now. I mean, people have a lot of choices in hotels, but most hotels are like these boxes that you go into and you're really lonely and, you feel like there's a lot going on in a city or even in the rooms next to you, but you don't meet anybody. And the Virgin Hotels is much more of a social club. It takes advantage of the city that you're in and you could connect with other guests. So that was a lot of fun.
And why do you think Richard Branson is so successful compared to other people in the business?
Yeah, I mean, so many reasons. But mostly I think is because he looks at things and says, one, there's got to be a better way. And then two, his catchphrase is, screw it, let's do it, which is the title of his book. And it really means if you feel like you have an idea, don't test it to death. Don't, keep it in your head. Just get it out in the marketplace. And if you fail, at least you're going to learn. And that's why I loved working with him and the other people there.
If somebody lives in, say, Greenberg or one of the villages and is starting a business, you have a brand school. And could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I have a brand school specifically for small businesses. It's an 8-week program and it's online. So if you're really busy, you can keep your day job and then from 12 to 1:30 during our class once a week, just dial up with your computer from a Starbucks or in your car or shut the door of your office. And it will save you years and years of heartache and mistakes if you get your brand right from the beginning.
What are some of the mistakes that people make when they're starting a business?
I think the first mistake is they don't really think who is the business for. And so they target way too broadly. They say, you know, we're going to go after women 25 to 54 or anybody who wants to lose weight or anybody who needs tax help. And those messages will end up being too broad and not really land on anybody. It's kind of like the AT&T brand, you know, reach out and touch someone. If you're too broad, you're not going to touch anybody.
We have to take our first break. And we'll be right back. And if listeners would like to call, they could call 636-0110. And I want to remind people that my guest is Julie Cotino. And there's a book, Twist, How Fresh Perspectives Build Breakthrough Brands. And where can people get that?
They can get it on Amazon or my website, brandtwist.com.
Great. We'll be right back and we'll talk about how you could brand your own businesses and some mistakes a lot of people make when they're starting businesses or continuing businesses. If your business isn't doing that great, how your business could be successful. Great. We'll be right back. I'm Paul Finer, Greenberg Town Supervisor.
Now, back to the Greenberg Report on 1460 WVOX. Once again, here's Greenberg Town Supervisor Paul Finer.
Hi, I'm Paul Finer. I'm the Greenberg Town Supervisor, and we have a very interesting program. My guest is Julie Cotino, and Julie wrote a book, Twist, How Fresh Perspectives Build Breakthrough Brands, and also is the dean of a unique online brand school. What's the website in case people want to take a look at it?
Sure, it's brandtwist.com.
Brandtwist. Yeah, we were talking about starting businesses and branding yourself and twisting yourself. And we were talking about mistakes, and we were also, I was asking, what's the most important thing a new business, you know, should do?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is to have an elevator pitch that really stands out. And a lot of people have an elevator pitch that takes, you know, 20 floors to tell what they do, what they offer, because they focus too much on the nuts and bolts. And you're really not going to distinguish your business by what you sell. You're really going to distinguish by how you make people feel and, you know, what the overall brand benefit is.
And people, you want people to have it should be a very short message rather than telling everything about your life?
Yeah, branding's like an onion. You know, you want people to get interested in peeling the onion. You don't have to say everything right off the bat, but what you should lead with is your twist. What's different? What problem are you trying to solve? You know, how do you stand out in the market?
So we were talking during the break about my car. It says mobile problem solver. So my brand is problem solver. So when people think of me, it's, oh, he's the one I could go to with a problem.
Yeah, I think that's a great twist. And I love the fact that you live that by literally driving around in your, what is it, a Corolla?
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to see it parked in the parking lot right now. Red Corolla with a sign on the top. You know, that's very different. That's going to catch people's attention. And the important thing is not that you just promise that, but you follow up on it. You do answer the calls and the emails and get the problem solved.
Right. Now, a brand may work for me, but it may not work for other people. Could people copy other people's brands, and will it always be successful or not always?
No, you can't copy somebody else's brand. Your brand has to come through from what's unique and authentic about you. So it has to start with that. I do think you can look at other successful brands that are out there, and that's what my book and my class is a lot about, is twisting lessons from brands that you love with your own brand. So, for example, Starbucks is a great brand. You know, it manages to charge a premium, not just for the coffee, but the experience. And they're all about personalization. So if you're a dry cleaner, you know, how can you twist with Starbucks? And that means not offering better coffee in your store, but saying customization. You know, how can you offer an extra shot of starch, you know, or double grande with, you know, some bleach? You know, that would help you stand out. It's not about looking at what all the other dry cleaners are doing.
Or, you know, I'm even thinking of supermarkets. People will go to a higher-end supermarket because it looks nicer and it looks cleaner, but they're selling the same orange juices that other supermarkets are selling for less money, and they'll still spend more.
Yeah, because they're interested in the brand experience, and they're interested in what that brand says about them as well.
So the brand experience could be cleanliness.
customer service, cleanliness, you know, people who go out of their way when you ask a question to walk you to the next aisle, you know, what they believe in, the charities that they give back to, all of those things are part of your brand.
And a hotel, some of the hotels people will pay, you know, hundreds of dollars a night or more than hundreds of dollars a night to stay in a luxury hotel. And they may only spend, besides the evening, they're now really spending a lot of time there, but they're still paying more. How come?
Yeah, because, I mean, any hotel can offer you a safe, clean place to stay. But the luxury hotels, are offering an experience. And a lot of time that experience starts when you book your hotel. You know, the concierge will get in touch with you before you arrive. And then when you get there, there are things in the room that are specific to what you like because they've spent the time to get to know you. And then afterwards, they keep in touch and, you know, continue the brand experience.
I was sort of curious, what motivated you to get into this field?
Oh, my goodness. You know, when I was really little, I had this experience where my parents wouldn't let me get a pet because my brother was allergic. And I went out in my garden and took a rock and put it in a Cool Whip container and invented the pet rock. And a couple years later, the official pet rock was invented by a guy named Gary Dahl, who was also trying to solve the same problem of a pet that was low maintenance and didn't shed. And I remember from a very young age thinking, that's what I want to do. I want to creative problem solve, which is really what branding is all about.
Now, you went to the University of Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
And did you just have like a natural instinct for branding, or did you learn a lot of these skills at the college?
I think I had a natural instinct, but I was lucky to be in the Annenberg School of Communications and also to be in Philadelphia, which is a great city that offered, you know, I had a lot of internships. I worked at CBS in Philadelphia. I worked downtown at a real estate agency doing marketing and just absorbing. I love cities. I love the, you know, the culture and energy of a city and absorbing all those brand lessons.
When people are saying, I want to get a brand, does it make sense to do market, you know, research or do focus groups, polling? Could that help or doesn't always work?
I think it does work, but I think you have to be careful. I think you have to already have an idea of what you want to offer and what your passion is and the problem you're trying to solve, and then use research to help make that idea better. I think if we listen to everybody, you know, like if you're coming out with a new name for your business and you ask five different people, your family, your friends, your spouse, they're going to have at least five different opinions. And that can end up giving you a really huge headache. I think research is best when you've already narrowed it down and you're just trying to figure out, is there anything that I'm missing that could be more powerful in my messaging?
Also, when somebody is involved in, I forgot what I was going to say about that. Could you tell us some success stories of someone in your class or people who you've worked with?
Yeah, I think there's a lot about personal branding and bringing your personal passions into your brand that can make you very successful. So I had a kitchen designer up in Westchester. Her name is Joan, and she had a high-end kitchen design business, and it was doing well, but she wanted to take it further. And through working in the class, we discovered that she had this passion for ballroom dancing. It was just a hobby, but it wasn't something that she was bringing into her business. And when I heard about that, I said, why don't we twist that passion in your business together? And she rebranded as Kitchen Choreography.
And
you know, that really helped her to stand out. She's won lots of awards and has really expanded her business since taking the class.
We have to take another break. Could you give us the website again?
It's brandtwist.com.
Brandtwist.com. Julie Cotino. And we're going to be back in a couple minutes on Paul Finer, Greenberg Town Supervisor.
Now, back to the Greenberg Report on 1460 WVOX. Once again, here's Greenberg Town Supervisor Paul Finer.
And if anybody would like to ask a question about their own type of brand, if they're thinking about creating a brand or starting up a business, you could call us at 636-0110. My guest is Julie Cotino, and Julie is the CEO of Brand Twist and dean of a unique online brand school. And during the break, we were talking about something very interesting, Starbucks versus McDonald's. If you had a choice of coffee from Starbucks or McDonald's, which do you think you choose?
I think a lot of people, I mean, it's proven, you know, in the business model of Starbucks that they're able to charge premium. But what they're really charging is a premium for the brand experience. Because if you look back at a Consumer Reports blind taste test that was done a few years ago, when they asked people which coffee they prefer, just the water and beans, you know, not showing them which brand, McDonald's actually won. So I find that fascinating because, you know, McDonald's is not able to charge the brand premium, or, you know, nor do people usually come into a new city, for example, when you're traveling and, you know, desperately seek out the latest, the nearest Starbucks. You know, I think with the McCafés, McDonald's is actually doing a lot to improve its brand, but that'll show you the power of brand right there to command, you know, more money.
But if McDonald's changes their, you know, with the cafes, people still think of McDonald's as a fast food, you know, a place. So is it hard to get people to change their opinion about a brand?
It's difficult, but it's definitely not impossible. And I think it just takes a plan. And, you know, it takes commitment and consistency. And that's the same thing with personal branding. You know, people ask me, do I even have a brand? I mean, yes, everybody has a brand. You know, your brand is what people talk about, what they say about you when you're not in the room. And one of the things that we talk about in the book and the class is how to create a personal brand plan.
So McDonald's, if they had ads saying they're the best tasting anything of at the least cost, and then they highlighted consumer experiences and have people, a lot of blindfold contests all over the country, that could create a change of people's attitudes about them.
Yeah, it could, but I don't think coffee is just about the taste. I think coffee is about the experience. So I think what they're doing is really smart. They're redoing a lot of their cafes to make them more comfortable. There's one in Tarrytown that I blogged about this summer that has touchscreen ordering. You know, so that's appealing to millennials. They're changing the experience, not just saying we're better. And I think that's really important.
Great. You know, a lot of people are interested in the salaries that they get. And if somebody, it's the end of the year right now, somebody is listening to the program and they feel that they're underpaid, could they? How do they brand or get their employer to recognize that something should be done, or they could lose them?
Yeah, I think they, you know, at the end of the year, you could definitely talk about your achievements of the past year. And then I would focus also on the year to come. You know, what's your plan to distinguish yourself? If you're known as somebody who's a good number cruncher, but you really want to be known as somebody who's analytical, then create a plan over the next 12 months to, you know, share articles, to start a new project, to bring, you know, different processes to your work that focus on what you want to be perceived as, not just how you're considered today. And I think it's okay to toot your own horn. I mean, I think this is an area where a lot of people, you know, in particular, I deal with a lot of women entrepreneurs. We feel that talking about our accomplishments is somehow unseemly or unfeminine. And we've got to get over that because, you know, if you're doing things really well and you're adding value, then you need to talk about it. And you don't need to say, look how wonderful I am, but you can say, look at the value that I'm adding to the organization. Here's what I'm proud about, the number of customers that we increased or helped, or the level of service. You know, great brands do that. They advertise, they promote, they have taglines and messages, and they have a twist. And I think people need to do that as well.
So if somebody is looking for a salary increase, what they really have to do is brand themselves as invaluable, as somebody who can't be replaced.
Yeah.
So they have to have, I'm the one who's so analytical, or I'm the most thorough person around. I could catch mistakes and help you avoid these mistakes. If you don't give me the raise, I'm going elsewhere. and you're not going to get somebody like me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about the threatening to walk.
No, but I'm saying that's basically what you want the other person to think.
Yes, what you want the other person to think. But I think it's you create a positive campaign of value, and you connect it to your customers. So again, it's not I'm the most wonderful person, but it's here's what I do for our organization, our mission, our customers, and here's how I help.
What about students? How could they, why would you advise a student who is in school or, you know, trying to start their careers?
Well, this is a very pertinent conversation for me because I have a senior in high school and a senior in college. So for the seniors in high school and the juniors in high school, I think you have to start really developing your personal brand so that when it's time to write your personal essay and do your application, the people who have, I think, averaged 7 minutes, you know, to read each college application get you right away. So think about what is your personal twist and edit that. You don't have to tell them about all your accomplishments, just the ones that make you unique. And the same thing for the job seekers, which are really the seniors in college. You know, write your LinkedIn statement and your resume, not just a list of what you did, but a list of really what you accomplished and the value that you bring and what's unique about you.
So would you suggest that the brand school that you have could be helpful to, say, students who are thinking about college?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the students have enough schools, so maybe start with the book, which I think is a great, you know, gift for, you know, anybody who's graduating or in their, you know, in their senior year. But definitely, you know, there's, start to also, for students, start to pay attention to people that you admire and what lessons can you learn from them.
Right, and for people who want to know what the book is, it's called Twist It, How Fresh Perspectives Build Breakthrough Brands, and it's by Julie Cotino, and she's also founder and CEO of Brand Twist and dean of a unique online brand school. You know, I was thinking while we were talking that Uber has a good brand name.
Yeah.
You know, what's the, you know, what made Uber, you or Uber, what made them more successful?
Well, I think a lot of things, but I think they did choose a brand name that's going to allow them to stretch because it doesn't, you know, it's not dial a car. It doesn't have the word car transportation in it. It's just German, actually, for above.
Right.
And, you know, now they're going to Uber Eats. And I think what they've, you know, what they stand for, I mean, listen, they've had a lot of management problems and some issues as well, but in their customer delivery, it's a convenient way to manage your life and get things done. So I think they have permission to stretch into other categories, which might have been more difficult if they took a name that was more, confining, more literal.
Oh, that's actually interesting because if it said dial a cab.
Yeah, dial a cab. It's hard for that to stretch into anything else. You know, Apple's a great example of that, right? So Apple chose a name that has allowed them to go into music and lots of different things. It stands out, you know, whereas Microsoft, which has great products, you know, that's a little trickier because the name says it's all about technology, whereas Apple's kind of about knowledge and imagination.
Great. We have to take a break. And Julie, could you tell us again the website?
BrandTwist.com.
Great. I'm Paul Finer, Greenberg Town Supervisor.
Now, back to the Greenberg Report on 1460 WVOX. Once again, here's Greenberg Town Supervisor Paul Finer.
Hi, my name's Paul Finer, and my guest today is a global authority on branding. Julie Cotino is founder and chief executive officer of Brand Twist and dean of a unique online brand school. She worked with Richard Branson of Virgin. She was vice president of brands for Virgin and lives in one of the villages in Greenberg. And Julie, we were talking about brand health checks. Could you tell us what that is?
Sure. So, you know, just like you go every year to the doctor, hopefully, for a checkup, for time to time, you really need to see, is your brand as healthy as it could be? So we offer through our website these brand health checks where we'll actually look at your, you know, your website, your social media presence, your LinkedIn profile, and give you some advice on areas where you could beef up your branding.
Right. So if somebody had a typewriter business and they took the check up, they would realize that nobody has typewriters anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be a little DOA if you're in the typewriter business. But yeah, there are a lot of other businesses.
Or like Kodak.
Yeah.
They could have benefited from a checkup when the world started evolving and photography changed.
Yeah, we'll look at your target, we'll look at your market, your competition, and also your personal twist. You know, are you bringing enough of yourself and what's unique about you to your business, which is really important, particularly if you're a small business owner.
Now, Facebook had a great brand, and I guess they still probably have a great brand because billions of people are taking advantage of it, but they're not doing as well now as you know, as they once were. And would you recommend that Mark Zuckerberg contact you?
Yeah, I think Mark should definitely contact me. You know, we could talk about growing up in Westchester. But yeah, I think Facebook does still have a great brand, but they are showing signs of weakness. And one of the signs that they're showing is that the younger generation, you know, I have a son who's in high school, and he's not on Facebook unless he has to be. He's gone more to Instagram and Snapchat. And if you're losing younger customers, then eventually your brand is going to age out. And so you know, for any business, you have to make sure that you're staying relevant to the younger consumers as well.
So why would you recommend that Mark Zuckerberg do, or I guess he would have to pay you a consultant fee?
Yeah, we could talk about it. I mean, I know they're paying attention to it. You know, they've got great awareness. They've got great usage. You know, they've started to do some things that I think are more interesting, like the Facebook stories, some of the videos and personalization that they allow you to put out, some of the messaging, I think is really important. But they just have to stay on top of, you know, where they, what they really stand for.
In terms of, you know, you were talking about successes, the kitchen choreography.
Yeah. Yeah, so we had another one that we could talk about, which was a few years ago, my web designer, actually, who was taking the class to improve her own website, because there's a lot of cobbler's shoes that goes on. Some really creative people are great at creative for clients, but not themselves. She also had a personal passion, which was being a trapeze artist. She goes to circus school once a week. She's an amateur trapeze artist, and she wasn't really talking about that in her branding. And from working together through the class, we said, you know, this is really important because it means you're somebody who's brave. You like to take risks. You're strong. You believe in partnership. There's nothing more, you know, needing a partner when you let go of a trapeze, hoping somebody will catch you. So, long story short, her brand is called Hercules.com, and she pumped up the trapeze. She talks about herself as Big Top Branding Services, and put a lot more energy and uniqueness and twist into her brand.
You were talking to me during the break about Westchester and the fact that you like their brand. How come?
Yeah, I think Westchester is a great brand. I mean, I've been a resident here over 20 years. And when I first moved here, people in Manhattan in particular said, you know, where's Westchester? Is that upstate New York where all the cows are? You know, they really had no perception of it. But I'm a member of the Business Council of Westchester, of the Solopreneurs Council. I've done a lot of work with them, and I think they're doing a really good job of putting Westchester on the map as somewhere that has got everything that the city has to offer, but, you know, more space, you know, access to great people. And it's not the boonies out here. It's really a very vibrant community. And I think now when I meet people from all over the world and I say I live in Westchester, I'm starting to see, oh, yeah, I've heard of that. I know more about that.
But they didn't get the Amazon. If they had branded Westchester a little differently, do you think they would have had a better shot?
No, I think there's so many things that go into that decision, but I heard something on NPR where another city who hadn't gotten the Amazon account used that as a moment to learn why not. And I'm hoping that Westchester will learn from this and we'll just move forward, and I'm sure we'll get the next one.
Right, because they're going to be expanding anyway, so it may turn out that 20 years from now there'll be a lot of Amazon offices all over.
Yeah, and if it's not Amazon, it'll be another great company. It's, you know, when you have a good product, I think we have a really good product in Westchester. If you just keep at it, you know, your audience will get there.
Now, if somebody wants to improve their branding, is speaking, the way they speak, is that important?
Yeah, the way you speak, the way you dress. I mean, your listeners can't see me, but you know I'm always wearing purple. And purple for me is about twisting. It's a twist of red and blue. It's the color of passion and prosperity. And when I appear, I speak often, you know, around the world in front of very large audiences, but often on a panel, you know, or a lineup of other speakers. I think the purple is helps me stand out. People remember it. And so when I show up for business, I'm always wearing purple. It helps me really embody my brand.
And how important when people are making presentations is like lighting and visuals?
Well, visual aspects and visual cues are really important, you know, and that could be, you know, a pair of glasses that you always wear, a scarf, a certain tie, but connecting it to your business. If your business has a certain color that's really prominent in their logo, in your logo, I would urge people to see how can you incorporate that into your own personal branding.
We only have less than a minute left. Is there anything that you'd like to mention that I left out? And also you could tell us again about your book.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm very grateful to be part of this community, and I want to offer a gift to the listeners. So if you go to brandtwist.com and you're interested in any of our products or services, if you enter WVOX, you'll get a coupon code for 15% off any of our programs. We have a new class of brand school starting in the new year. And if you just want to get in touch and talk about your brand, you can always email me at julie@brandtwist.com and just put in the subject line Westchester or VOX, and I'll make sure that you get to the top of our attention.
That is great. So I really want to thank you for joining us. I learned you know, a lot. And again, your book is Twist, How Fresh Perspectives Should Build Breakthrough Brands. And you can get that on Amazon. And my guest has been Julie Cotino, and she's the founder and CEO of the Brand School, and the website again?
Brandtwist.com.
Brandtwist.com. So thanks a lot for joining us, and I know that our listeners will benefit from your advice.
Thanks, Paul.
Paul Feiner, Greenberg Town Supervisor.